that there's a journey through this process that you're going through. God will meet you in that pain. God will be there with you when you're in the midst of that fire. But sometimes we have to go into that fire for him to be in there with us, just like the Hebrews had to learn. Welcome to Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Marcus Hill. This podcast is all about bringing biblical truth into everyday life. We take real situations, struggles, questions, victories, and hold them up to light of Scripture to see what God has to say about them. This isn't just a teaching platform. It's a place for honest conversation. We talk about what people are really going through, and we do not shy away from the hard stuff. Whether it's personal battles, family dynamics, or spiritual doubts, we explore them all with grace and with truth. My heart for this podcast is very simple: to reach those who feel far from God and to remind them that they are not beyond his reach. Yes, like the prodigal child that returned home to his father, or like the lost sheep where the 99 is left behind and God goes in search for that one, and there's more joy in heaven over that one returned than the 99 left behind. Oh, hallelujah. Faith in Focus, Episode 1, The Great Exchange, Stripping Off the Old, Running Toward Glory. I'm your host, Marcus Hill. Let's dive in. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, God, we bow our heads, Lord, and we just thank you, God, for another amazing day of life. We just pray, Father, that you reach those whom you desire, God. We pray, Father, that this message resonates with the heart of the person that you want to listen to this, God. Lord, we know that you are the potter and that we're only vessels, Lord, that we only scatter seeds, God, but that you cause the increase. So in the name of Jesus, God, I just pray, Father, for an anointing to be on this message, Lord. I pray, Father, that I work unto you with excellence, Lord, that it's in your glory, Lord, that I boast in your glory, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that you reach those who you desire. May they fully have your attention, Lord. Use me as your vessel. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The title of this message is called Run with Endurance. Brothers and sisters, we are in a race. We are in a race of a lifetime. See, this is not a quick dash to the sprint, but rather it's a marathon. It's a marathon that requires runners to exemplify discipline, sacrifice, and focus. See, the smart and determined runner trains hard for the finish line. You know, with everything that he has in him, he's going to train hard for that finish line to give it all he has to make it through that finish line. Yes, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ, but God says, Jesus told us, if you love me, you will obey me. See, obedience is required. I'm not the one to challenge a person's faith and what you believe and if you are a Christian or not. But Jesus did say, by your fruits, you shall know them, right? You can't bear any fruit unless you abide in the vine. And Jesus said, without me, you can produce no fruit at all. So there is an evidence that's shown by the way that you live your life. If you do believe in what you say, you know, like they say, talk is cheap. We want to make sure that we're following God and that we're demonstrating to others that we are vessels of God, that we have died to ourselves and allow Christ to live within us. So the scripture of focus is on Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. In this scripture, it tells us, let us run with endurance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. See, let us run with endurance, right? This requires spiritual discipline. It requires spiritual lungs, spiritual legs. You don't go to the gym one time and pick up that weight and just gain a big muscles. No, it's the consistency. It's the constant going to the gym. It's the constant lifting that weight that develops that muscles. It's the constant pain, the breakdown in the muscles, you know, the trials, the tribulations, the things that get you ready and prepared that builds that muscle. Yes, we are in a race for everlasting life as we fix our eyes on Jesus. Why do we fix our eyes on Jesus? It says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one. He's our primary focus. Well, you know, Jesus ran his race with endurance. He ran his race according to the rules. He ran his race without going sidetracked. Jesus demonstrated to us how we can conquer the world. He said, I have conquered and we are more than conquerors. So, brothers and sisters, how are you running your race? How do your race look? How does the race feel? See, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, it says, enter through the narrow gate. The narrow gate. Why? Because the broad and the spacious road leads off into destruction. And it says, many are those that are finding that road. See, but narrow and cramped is the road to everlasting life. Well, why is this? That's because this road here is restrictive. This road here is being obedient. This road here is requires sacrifice, requires dying to yourself, requires looking to God, requires asking God to help you, you know, along the way. This narrow road is so cramped that you can't get through there by yourself. You're going to need God's hand on your shoulders. Like Proverbs says, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will set your path straight. See, God will direct your footsteps like the lamp to your foot. It's not like the blind leading the blind, which is on this wide and broad and spacious road. See, we want to stay away from that road. That road there is very enticing. It leaves a lot of room. It leaves a lot of things where you can do whatever you want to do. Like the song says, the highway to hell. You know, you can do whatever you want to do. You can stop and mingle. You can do some cartwheels on that road. But whatever you're doing, you're not focusing. You know, we want to go through this narrow gate. Why is this important? Because Jesus said, not everyone coming to me saying, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but the one who is doing the will of my Father in heaven will. See, Jesus has requirements. Yes, indeed. How do we know this? How do we know this? Well, what did he say in the scripture? He talked about the rich man. The rich man that ran up before him and slid down before Jesus and said, teacher, what must I do to inherit everlasting life? And Jesus said he felt love for the man. And he told him, he said, you know, do all these things. You know, the guy said, I've been doing all of this since my youth on. Jesus said, okay. He said, well, sell everything that you have, give to the poor. You have treasure in heaven. Come be my disciple. And the man walked away sad, because he was holding too many possessions. See, this shows you that the heart wasn't right. Not only was this dude doing good things, obviously, but he didn't have a heart of obedience. He had another thing that put him above God. What do we have in our life that we're putting above God? Is it the job? Is it our spouse? Is it our friends? Is it entertainment? It can be anything. Anything that we put above God is idolatry. This right here is the weight that entangles us. This is the weight that's wrapped around us that makes it hard to run this race for everlasting life. See, we have to reject worldly compromises, embrace God's boundaries. See, this race in a real race, there's something that they call lanes. There's rules. You have to stay within your lane during this race. You can't just run all over the track, because when they fire the gun and you take off and start going everywhere, they're going to say, okay, you're disqualified. How heartbreaking would that be to be running a race according to your own rules? And Jesus said, I never knew you. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. We want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. But the only way that we're going to know that is that we have to learn what God is saying. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only time that we can get and develop that faith is if we spend time with God. If we listen to God, we worship God. See, the Bible says, draw close to God and he'll draw close to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. We have to go and ask God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you desire me to do? Let me stay in the hands of the potter and let you mold and shape and work me into the vessel that you want me to be. Yes, in the name of Jesus, that's what we have to do. We have to run this race with endurance. We have to run this race according to rules. We have to stay within our lane. See, there was a person named Rosie Ruiz. She was involved in a cheating scandal. It was in 1980 in the Boston Marathon. She skipped miles to claim victory, but was exposed and stripped of her title. See, similarly, in the Christian life, shortcuts like legalism, hypocrisy, or relying on worldly success, wealth, and fame to earn salvation, these are empty. See, the Bible says that these things are passing away and so are their desires, but he that does the will of God will remain forever. See, we have to focus on God. We have to put God as our number one. See, everything else is an illusion. See, people found that out when we seen the bombs dropped on Ukraine. See, everybody probably had a stake or a house, a job, a retirement. They said, okay, this is what I have. And yet, it was an illusion. It was never promised. It was never certain. You had entire cities destroyed. So if your retirement came from a city, then who's going to pay you after that? You had you had entire states destroyed. You had an entire country pretty much destroyed. See, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. We need to make sure that we're storing up treasure for ourselves in heaven than rather on earth, that we're running according to the rules, that we're looking toward Jesus and not relying on our own strength. See, the Bible says that there's a way that seems right before us as men and women, but the end of it is death. See, what does it profit a man to gain the entire world, but yet forfeit your soul, is what the scriptures say. We have to ask ourselves, what are we doing? How are we running? Are we running according to the rules? Are we running according to what God has told us to do? See, there's a biblical call to the race. We don't want to be like Ruth or Rosie, who skipped those miles and was embarrassed and stripped of her dignity and respect. And yet she sat there and you can only imagine the shame that her family and everyone else felt for a temporary moment. Pleasure and fame. We don't need that. We want eternal life versus perishable metals. See, Rosie's motive for cheating was to gain temporary rewards such as medals, prize money, or fame, all of which eventually fade and will be of no value when she dies. You'll never see a U-Haul fall on the hearse. Everything that's here stays here. You'll never see a hearse following a U-Haul. See, her legacy as a cheater, however, will forever live on, right? But thank God that God is different from us because we're not perfect. Yes, some of us run and we do things that we have no business doing. See, David was a good example of this. God said that, yeah, David is a man after my own heart. But what was he? Yes, David was a person that committed adultery. He killed Uriah. He was a murderer. But yet he was on his knees day and night before the Lord, pleading with him, crying out to God. And see, God desires a heart like that. See, God says that the sacrifices to God are a broken heart and a contrite spirit. See, those the heart that is broken. And that is crushed. God is near to those. That's what Psalms 34:18 says. It says God is near those who are broken at heart, and those who are crushed in spirit he saves. See, sometimes we are broken when we find out that we've been running in a way, or some of us been running in a complete opposite direction. And yet God says, you know what? It's okay. Just like a little two-year-old, a little toddler stumbling his way to walk, God is putting forth his hands and he's saying, I got you, son. I got you, daughter. Come, let me hold you up. Walk with me. And then sooner or later, as you get to walking, God is going to cheer you on. He's going to be a proud father looking at you. You see, Because God, when he sees you, he sees Jesus. He sees the blood of the Lamb. There's nothing we can add to what was done on the cross, and there's nothing we can do to take away from it. See, we got to think about this. See, the Apostle Paul says this. This is the biblical call to run the race. In Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25, he says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." Amen. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25. See, we want to run with endurance. We want to develop our spiritual lungs, our spiritual legs. How do you do these things? Well, because there's many paths when you run this marathon. Sometimes it's an uphill climb and your legs are exhausted from pumping and going and struggling. You know, sometimes it's the rocky road where you got uneven terrain and you're trying to, you know, keep your ankle from twisting. You know, these are the trials that you go through. Sometimes it's a downhill slope where you're just gliding. And that's when you better be very careful. That's when you better be very careful. Because when nothing's going on, guarantee you the devil's in the midst. I'm telling you right now, be prepared because it's coming. Don't get complacent. See, he will pretend to be an angel of light. Yes, he rolls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. But at the same time, he will transform himself into an angel of light. And the only way that you can defend off these things is by putting on the spiritual armor of God. Yes, you have to put on the spiritual armor of God because our battles is not against flesh and blood, but it's against wicked spirits and principalities. See, our battle is against that spirit. It's not against that person. And we have to remember that. See, in this race that we're living, you know, that we're running in, that we're living throughout this life, you know, we have to make sure that we're running with endurance. Why? See, think about what the scriptures talk about in Matthew chapter 24. See, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him, they said, "What will be the sign of your presence and the end of the age?" That's a good question. They're saying, when is all this going to wrap up? When are we going to know that when you're returning? See, there's many things in the scriptures. The Bible says, just as lightning strikes from the east to the west, so shall the presence of the Son of Man be. If you've seen the lightning flash, you know that that's quick. It's going to happen that fast. See, Jesus also said, no man knows the hour. You know, so you better be prepared. We don't want to be like the people that the virgins with the oil that was unprepared. Unprepared. You know, we bring just enough in the tank, but we don't bring enough to get us to the finish line. Let us run with endurance. Let us strip off the weight and the sin that easily entangles us, that holds us back. And let us go looking with our eyes fixed on Jesus. See, in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, "But each one is being drawn out and enticed by our own desires." See, this desire, it starts with us. It starts with us. We're being enticed by our own desires. And when that desire becomes fertile, it gives birth to sin. And then sin, in return, brings forth death. The death of a relationship. The death of your spiritual relationship with God. We go into hiding like Adam did because we're looking at God and we're so ashamed of our sin. But we're enticed by our own desires. The only way that you can fight this is by putting on the new personality, stripping off the old personality with all the practices, and putting on the armor of God. That's how you stand firm. That's how we stand up. See, the Holy Spirit is the only thing, the only one that can get us through this. When the Spirit inside of us is making groans and utterances in places that we can't even speak up because we're allowing God to dig in deep. Are you willing to run your race with endurance? See, there was a young person that was running a race once, and he was so proud. He looked like a gazelle out there. I mean, his legs was flying. His breastplate was stuck out, and he was just going with the wind. They said, "Oh man, look at this guy float! Looked like he was floating on ice, or maybe not ice, but on air." But the point is, there was another person on the track. There was an older man, and he had a walker. And the young man looked at the old man, and he said, "Man, I lapped you. Keep up." And so the man kept on going. The old man smiled and waved and said, "I'll see you at the finish line." The young man kept on running. He came around and passed him up 3, 4, 5 times. About the 10th time he looked at it, he said, "Man, this is too easy." He said, "He ain't gonna never catch up." Well, on the 11th lap, he looked at the older man and he said, "Hey, are you gonna be able to speed up a little bit?" The older man said, "You know, when you get to about the 15th lap, there's a plaque on the board. Just make sure you look at it. You know, it kind of tells you how you're doing." He said, "Oh, okay." The young man said, "No problem." So he really sped up then. He said, "I'm going to beat everybody out here." Well, when he got to that 15 lap and he looked at that board and his eyes scrolled up to the top and he said, "Oh, man, I forgot what that man said his name was." And it came to him and he looked up there and he seen in first place. He said, "Oh, my goodness, that man is in first place with the walker." He understood at that point in time that man been running for years. See, this is endurance. This is not a race where you're going to take off and with a burst of energy and fall flat on your face. See, this requires training, discipline, a life of obedience. We're a living sacrifice. It doesn't stop until we're with Jesus, you know? And so we want to make sure that when we're running our race, that we're not comparing ourselves to other people. You know, your race is your race. You don't get there. You don't get in, but only on the merits of Christ in your race. You know, and you're going to only answer for the things that you do within your own race, not what somebody else does. You're not going to look at this older man and say, "Okay, yeah, you know, God, yeah, you know." No, that's for him. What are you doing in your race? Are you on that narrow gate? Are you running with endurance? Are you living your life as a living sacrifice? Are you being obedient? If not, the time is now. It's time to run. It's time to look toward Jesus. See, the Bible says he was tested in all ways, you know, but Jesus conquered. We can look toward him. We have a living hope. Look toward him. See, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Yeah, see, God is going to push you through that finish line. He's going to guide your steps. But we have to trust in him. We have to rely on him. We cannot do it in our own strength. See, like the Hebrew boys that was thrown in the fire, right? They had to keep their faith all the way to the end, even in the fire. That's where they found Jesus walking around. That's when the things that bounded them burned off. But they had to go into that fire in order to meet Jesus there. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to run your race with endurance and according to the rules? In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He is like a tree planted by waters that send out its root toward the stream." Imagine that. You're like a tree planted by water, and your roots, the very foundation of it, is seeking out living water. You're planted by the tree, and them roots is going toward the water. See, that's what happens when we come to Jesus. See, Jesus, when he met the woman at the well, he said that he got living water for her. He got living water for you right now. Are we willing to accept it? The question is ours. See, the Bible says he's like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots toward the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes, right? It does not think about that. It does not fear when the heat comes. The heat will come. Yes, you will be tested. You will be tested just like the Hebrews, just like the Israelites. Imagine being with your wife, your children, your grandfather, you know, carrying the odor, the donkeys and all of this stuff. And you got a major army marching in your direction. And yet you got to look at them and you got to say, oh, my goodness. Stand still and see the salvation of our God. It's in those moments where God delivers us. It's in those moments where we learn things. It's in those moments where it's like Paul said, in my weakness. Right. God is made strong. So you can't be strong and allow God to be strong in you. You got to humble yourself before the hand of the living God, and God will bring you through. See, the Israelites, they had their back against the sea. There was nothing they can do. But God opened up that sea, and they walked across on dry ground. See, like the Bible says, what was meant for evil turned for good. See, they were sitting there thinking they had them trapped. But the same wall, the same barrier that looked like it was going to do some damage to them, God split it open and said, come on, my son. Come walk with me. Come to safety. And then when the enemy pursued, God said, oh, no. We're not having that. Stand still and see the salvation of your God. See, we got to run with endurance. We have to run looking toward God. We have to make sure that we're doing things according to God's will. We have to be obedient. See, temporary gains versus eternal loss is terrible. You know, like we said earlier, what good is it to gain the world but yet lose your soul? That's in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. See, if you think about it, Ruth, she skipped so many miles to claim victory, but was exposed. Was always exposed. See, everything done in the dark will be brought to light. The Bible says your sin will find you out. See, we can't hide it. We can't do that. God knows. God is right there with us. He understands what we're going through, but he can see exactly the choices that we're making. Yes, if we're making bad choices, repent. We got a loving God that's willing and ready to forgive. But see, repentance means turning away from. It doesn't mean that you go say, I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't mean to do it. And go back and do it again and again and again and again. See, that's like trampling on the blood of the Son of Man. That's what the Bible calls it. That's like you just dancing on it. Not even caring about it. And the most precious blood, by his stripes you are healed, right? But we're going to trample on the blood. We don't want to do that. We want to look toward God and say, you know what, Lord, thank you. Thank you for bringing me out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you for giving me victory by you doing it, not me. By me just abiding in you and allowing you to work. By allowing you to work, I'm able to do this. I'm able to do all things by Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Oh, hallelujah. Ain't that the truth? See, like we said, she was exposed and stripped of her title. You know, in the Christian life, like I said, everything done in the dark, it will be brought to life. We will stand before our Creator. He will either say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or depart from me, you workers of iniquity. See, we want to make sure that we're doing what's right. See, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, that's where it says there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. How sad. How sad. See, in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. He cannot be mocked. We can't fool him. Just like as the heavens are higher than the earth, he says, my ways are higher than yours, my thoughts than your thoughts. Yes. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whatever soweth a man, if he sows to the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. And if he soweth to the spirit, from the spirit will reap eternal life. See, we're sowing seeds no matter what. We're sowing seeds. Some of them seeds can produce some nasty stuff. But we're sowing seeds. We want to make sure we're sowing seeds to the spirit. See, there's enmity between the spirit and the flesh. There's a war. We want to make sure that we're sowing seeds to the spirit. See, but we're going to talk about something very interesting because I don't want you to discourage you. I want you to run your race with endurance and run according to the rules and run with faith and hope and love and looking toward Jesus Christ. But we're going to talk about grace over works. See, you got disqualification versus redemption. That's what we want to think about. See, in the Bible says there was two men that went up to the temple to pray. One a tax collector, the other a Pharisee. It says, thus the Pharisee prayed with himself. He said, I thank God that I'm not like this other man. These other men, or even like this tax collector over here. I fast, I pay my tithes. He done all these things. But it said that the tax collector, he wouldn't even look toward the heavens, but would be on his breast and say, God, be merciful to me. It said that he walked away justified rather than the other. See, we want to have a heart for God. You know, it's not about the things that you do. See, he walked away justified, just like the woman that got caught in adultery in the very act. Jesus said, who condemns you? She said, no one. He said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. See, we serve a wonderful, loving God who separates our sins as the east from the west, two points that will never meet each other again. See, God forgives. We want to make sure that we're doing according to what God asks us to do, though. We want to live a righteous life. We don't want to just say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, and we go off and keep on offending and hurting our God. But there is redemption versus disqualification. See, in race, cheaters face disqualification, bans, and shame. You know, like the Ben Johnson doping scandal. See, their legacies are tarnished. Even when we fail, the finish line remains open through Christ's sacrifice. The Bible tells us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, we're instructed. It says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Ain't that good? See, in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul tells us that it's by grace you have been saved. Not of works. Not of works that anyone should boast. It's the gift of God. See, God does a work in you. God gets the glory. See, we want to make sure that we confess our sins. You know, God calls us to be holy. He said, I am holy. You know, he wants us to be holy. See, we want to live a righteous life. We want to live a life where God looks at us and he's proud and says, good job, son. You know, not that we're working and we're doing all these things and backflips and trying to get praying on corners, trying to get everybody to notice us, but that we're just in our heart, we're resolved to serve the God and to love him and to do right by him and appreciate what he's done for us. You know, that's why in the Bible it says pray without ceasing. You know, this is something we should do every day, all day. Continue to pray. You know, prayer is a direct communication with God that we can sit there and we can just tell him, Father, I can't do this on my own. In my strength, I am failing. And you know what? Like he said that you would mount up with wings like eagles, that you will walk and not tire out. See, God would do a work in you. God would help you. But we got to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. See, we have to train our muscles, you know, through scripture study. See, the Bible says that all scripture is God breathed. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. And the application of this is daily Bible engagement builds discernment. It builds discernment. We have to strengthen our lungs if we plan to run this race. How do we do that? The lungs is prayer. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You know, we have to do this. Sharpen your mind. How do you do that? Fellowship. The scripture says, iron sharpens iron. So shall one man sharpen the face of another. That's Proverbs 27:17. What's the application of this? The application is that the church community fosters accountability. Accountability. When you can go to your brothers and say, you know what? I'm struggling with pornography. I'm struggling with gambling and alcoholism. You know, see, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that he will reap. But if we humble ourselves, there can be a healing that takes place. Discipline is the key. The scripture, it says, train yourself for godliness. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. See, the challenge is to avoid spiritual weariness through constant habits that we're doing that doesn't please God. See, the more we fight with God, the more our spirit gets weary. You know, the more that we like the Bible says that the God of this world, referring to the devil, the darkness, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, that the light of the glorious image of Christ cannot shine through. You know, this is 2 Corinthians 4:4. Now, we have to make sure that we're looking to God. This is not a battle that you can fight on your own. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit and the spiritual armor, you're as good as dead on there. You know, we have to make sure. See, there will be uphill climbs. Those are trials. The Bible says, consider it all joy. What we should do? We should lean on Christ through those. There's going to be rocky paths. Those are crises. Your word is a lamp. Psalms chapter 119, 105. Yeah, that lamp to your foot. When there's darkness and you don't know where you're going, you stumbling around, call on God. His word to guide you. Trust in him. Lean not upon your own understanding. All your ways take notice of him, and he will make your path straight. See, those downhill slopes, them is complacency. See, the Bible says pride goes before destruction. That's Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. See, pride is just going to run you right into a ditch. See, we want to cultivate gratitude and humility and thank God for what he's done. See, we're going to have extreme weather in this race. That's persecution. The scripture says, blessed are those who are persecuted. That's Matthew 5:10. So there's a blessing that comes through there. Oh, how happy is what the scripture means are those? Because we look toward the final destination. Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you, you know, and he's going to come back and receive us to him. See, we're just sojourning through this earth. We're just getting through this. Our destiny is in heaven with Jesus. See, there's going to be flat stretches, spiritual dryness. That's what that would be considered. And like it says, let us not grow weary in doing good. We don't want to grow weary. See, the response is we need to reignite passion through worship and service. That's why we do need to go to church. People say, I don't need to go to church. Well, you know, the Bible does say don't forsake the gathering amongst yourself, as some have the custom, but go on encouraging one another, especially as the day draws near. And people say, well, you know, it does say where there's two gathered in my name, there is God. Yes, that's true. Yeah, absolutely. But what God has established for you to go ahead and go. See, God will put you into a body. He has appointed pastors after his own heart for you. And the only way that you're going to get that encouragement is by going. So make sure that you go. See, use the church as your pace. I'm not saying that, you know, you're competing with everybody in the body. I'm saying God is going to put you in a body where he can develop your spiritual gifts and where you can exercise your gifts to benefit the other members. You know, there's going to be, you know, you don't know where. Maybe you might be the head, the neck, the tongue, the mouth, the ear, you know. Wherever God puts you within that spiritual body, be happy. Exercise your gifts. Serve. Brothers, run with endurance the race for everlasting life.